This is Jordan Sekulow. Who's telling the truth? The Obama State Department or the Obama FBI? Now they're in conflict over who bribed who.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We looked into this, the FBI looked into this, and it's just not true. There was no quid pro quo even suggested or any kind of bargain laid on the table.
New questions surfacing about her emails. Did a State Department official try to strike a deal with the FBI to protect Clinton? So, Ron, this alleged quid pro quo, it's sure to come up at Wednesday's debate, so how might Clinton respond?
Yeah, look, I mean, as Brianna laid out, it's a complicated story with the State Department. One email suggesting the State Department began the conversation, one email suggesting the FBI began the conversation. In all likelihood, she's going to do what we saw John Kirby do, which is deny that the trade was ever offered. But it does kind of underscore just kind of what a monumental mess she created for herself with this decision.
What do you say to those people when they look at this quid pro quo, those words in a document?
I would say that if you've been following this debate over the classification system for a while, everybody has acknowledged, including Secretary Clinton, Colin Powell, Republicans and Democrats, that the classification of emails and other documents is essentially messed up, that we need to reform that. So I'm not surprised that there is this argument going back and forth between the State Department and the FBI about how to classify a document.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The fact that the trade wasn't made doesn't detract from that. Attempted bribery is just as much a crime as actual bribery. Remember Rod Blagojevich, the governor of Illinois, who, given the vacancy in an Illinois Senate seat when Barack Obama was elected president, said, "I've got something golden here I'm going to trade." And for that, Blagojevich went to jail.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, folks, we can answer media bias a little bit better today because this story we were breaking yesterday on Jay Sekulow Live about the 302, that is the FBI interview notes that were released showing and quoting those notes, you know, the actual notes themselves. Some commentators and experts have gotten this wrong. It's not emails we're talking about. We're talking about notes from interviews the FBI conducted when they were looking into Hillary Clinton's email server and the statements about whether or not there was classified material on that server. That's where you find the quote quid pro quo offer from the State Department to the FBI. Let me be clear here because it's pretty shocking for me to say this, but wouldn't it be nice to be Hillary Clinton and have the State Department, the FBI now, and the White House press secretary come out on Monday and even into today and do your bidding for you so that your campaign can just lay back? So what are they saying? Well, we have the actual 302. We have the document. We can all look at it. But we're supposed to believe the Obama administration that that document is inaccurate, that that document is wrong. This is that dual reality that the Obama administration lives in. They give you the document saying they did something bad. Someone in their administration did something bad. You know what? You wouldn't be blaming the whole administration if it was just that person that did something bad. You could say, go after that bad person. But what does this administration do? They say, no, we're going to discredit that document. So we're going to say, well, actually, they were talking about this, but it came from the FBI, not the State Department. It had nothing to do with each other. Even though in the document that we released on our government website, FBI.gov, all Americans can read, in quotes, quid pro quo offered from State Department to FBI. But we are now supposed to believe the new narrative coming out of the White House, the State Department, and the FBI. Now, Americans have already lost faith in the FBI because our FBI director, Jim Comey. The State Department, I mean, come on. It's a foreign policy that you can't even figure out day to day exactly what they're planning to do, except for undermining American interests. And the White House, I mean, Josh Earnest, he may say one thing one day, and the next day that totally changes. But Hillary Clinton just gets to sit back, and the government is doing the bidding for her when it comes to this issue. We've also got a big victory to announce in federal court in Washington, D.C. The IRS in our Tea Party cases has been ordered to issue outstanding determinations and answer for the political targeting of citizens. That's up at ACLJ.org. And Logan, we're taking phone calls and comments on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. Join us Facebook and Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow or directly for Facebook. Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over a million babies. That's two babies killed every minute, every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. The abortion industry even sells these murdered babies' body parts for profit. It's our duty to end these atrocities. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the Pro-Life Investigative Journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. This case could devastate big abortion. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And we could not succeed without your support. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, as well as your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Before we get back into the Hillary Clinton matter, which, folks, again, it would be great to be Hillary Clinton when you're just a day away now from their last presidential debate. Exactly 3 weeks until Election Day now, 21 days. People begin early voting. Some already have. And another bombshell drops on your campaign that your Undersecretary of State went to the FBI and offered a quid pro quo in exchange for changing the classification of your emails so that your statement that none of the emails on your private server were classified was accurate, that you weren't lying when you said that. And that alone, which is criminal in nature, had to force the FBI to say first, well, we didn't actually cooperate with this. That was their first response. But see, they all, as we all realized, that first response wasn't enough because it still meant that there was criminal activity, because they offering of that bribe. And then they started responding. This came from the State Department, the FBI, and ultimately the White House press secretary, that don't believe the actual document the government has released to the public, that the FBI released to the public. It was, it was the FBI who brought this up to the State Department and a different discussion. And so don't believe the actual document. Believe our words. By the way, they have no evidence to back this up. So it's just believe our words, believe our spin on it. Hillary Clinton the whole time is getting to sit back and let the Obama administration go to war on this issue for her. I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's listen. This is Mark Toner from the State Department trying to defend this in an interview with Catherine Herridge.
It's just not one person who says this happened.
I understand,
it's in
Catherine,
fact, two FBI
that.
Agents who say it happened.
I understand that. And again, I can't speak to why they said what they said, but I will refer everyone to the fact that the FBI did put out a statement over the weekend also saying there was no quid pro quo.
Well, they say it didn't happen, but they acknowledge that there was a discussion of additional slots overseas in the same conversation of making revisions to the classification that would have benefited the State Department.
We can go back and forth, Catherine. I'm just saying, I'm just repeating myself.
You know, again, let me go to Than and then Logan. Than, you go to this reporting of this, and just to let everybody understand this complete denial of the actual evidence. We have evidence. We read it. It's official from the FBI. And yet we're supposed to believe these spokespeople from the government who tell us, no, the evidence isn't correct. It's very typical for this administration, but it is outrageous, and Hillary Clinton should be held account for this tomorrow night at the debate.
Jordan, they're relying on doubling down on the fact that they didn't actually accept the deal. But remember, we said on this broadcast yesterday that it would take FBI agents or officials at the FBI being willing to risk their career to get this information out. Let me tell you, that's exactly what happened here, because this information comes from a low-level FBI official within the Records Management Division. He testified to his superiors, the investigators in this case, two main things. One, that Undersecretary Patrick Kennedy from the State Department pressured his superiors to change these classifications. And maybe more damaging, Jordan, he testified that that superior then called him and pressured him to change the classification, something he was not willing to do. So a couple of things. Number one, the only reason the quid pro quo didn't happen was because of this low-level FBI official who refused to do it. But two, both the State Department and high-ranking officials at the FBI, Jordan, they were asking for this quid pro quo. The ask was made. Just because it was never consummated does not mean that the ask wasn't made.
Yeah, take a listen. The exchange continued. Byte 9, this is Catherine Herridge from Fox News going back and forth with Mark Toner from the State Department.
So you're saying the FBI agent either got it wrong or is lying in this 302?
I can't speak to what his or her intentions were saying these kinds of things, but clearly expressing a personal opinion about what happened. All I can say is, as I understand the course of events, Catherine, as I understand this, Catherine, this was any idea or any really assertion that this was somehow tit for tat or a quid pro quo exchange of in that manner really, frankly, is insulting.
Insulting. Now, this is not our terminology. This right. is not Catherine Herridge's terminology. I can't stand the way this administration, I've done this, I said this a number of times throughout this term, especially the State Department. I have great disdain, I will say, and always feel insulted by our U.S. State Department, especially the spokespeople they put out, whether they're using a spokesperson like Admiral Kirby, who gets used by them. So he gets given this big position to put out, who I think is probably a decent person who's served our country. And then the Mark Toner types who will just get into this nastiness, and the former State Department, you'd think they'd get fired, and yet they get promoted over to the White House because they're such good liars. Logan, we're not making the term up. The term is in the FBI document, right. Quid pro quo, and they're saying it's insulting.
Yeah, it's always the way they treat the press. It seems to be the common threat is to throw it back on them like it's their fault. I feel like this is a common statement that gets put around every time the president has or the administration has one of these situations happen. It's always this scuffle with the press that's taken personally. It's very odd, not the way typically it should be handled. And you're not saying that the press coming in with insulting behavior or insulting comments. So it just seems to continue to happen this way.
All right, folks, we'll take your calls on now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to the phones.
Robert's calling in Maryland on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Logan. I have a comment and also a question. Okay. I wanted to go with the comment first, but the revelation of the WikiLeaks emails coming out over the past week or so, and there have been, I think, more than 2,000 to 4,000 of them, with the revelations about some officials in the Clinton camp that want to infiltrate the Roman Catholic Church because of their stance on marriage,
yeah.
Their disdain for evangelical Christians, which speaks to religious bigotry.
Yeah.
Also, the DNC hack, which was not so much from WikiLeaks, but showing that at the DNC they wanted to elect Hillary Clinton, and yep. they made a strong implication that Southern evangelicals in certain states wouldn't vote for Bernie Sanders because he's Jewish, and,
yep.
and also how that they look at Donna Brazile and Ben Jealous, who are both black. I don't think there's any way, in any way, shape, or form, the Democratic Party can say that they're a party of minorities in the little man and accurately portray that, because not only because of the things that we found out in the WikiLeaks revelations, but also because of their past history, especially dealing in slavery and Jim Crow against black Americans. That's
yeah,
my comment.
Well, Robert, let me just say, I think there's a lot of information there. And in most election years, I would tend to 100% agree with you that the Democrat Party's idea that they represent everybody and they're just this perfect political party of the left and liberals and they treat everybody fairly, even if they disagree with you, that's absolutely absurd. They have great disdain for, as you said, evangelicals, for what they called conservative Catholics, which if you look at their definition, that's Catholics who actually believe in the faith and the teachings of the Pope. They have great disdain for them, so they have great disdain for evangelical Christians. They have even disdain, in a sense, for minorities because they assume that they have the vote of minorities. It's just, will they get enough of it? How will they turn out the votes? Not so much the support. So they, again, take things for granted. But we're not in a normal election. And I tend to agree with you philosophically, but I'll go to Than on this because, Than, when we look at the other major party, and for those of you who say, oh, there's other parties out there, yes, there are, but one of those folks are not likely going to be present, is you look at, and no one made the debate stage other than these two, Hillary and Donald, that if you look at the Republican Party right now, it's hard for it to claim anything because it seems to be so disjointed. I don't mean as a, the Republican Party's platform so much as I mean you have the RNC fighting, you got the Speaker of the House not supporting, you have the Senate Majority Leader who refuses to utter the name of his party's nominee for president. I mean, it's pretty tough to make a case. The Democrats, yes, they've got a lot of problems in their party, but they've been able to keep it together so far. The Republican Party has not.
Yeah, first of all, I would associate myself with Robert's comments. I mean, the comments that we heard from John Podesta and others within the Clinton campaign, Jordan, that was identity politics at its worst. It was pandering to select group of voters who there is disdain for in order to try to get them to the polls. Now, you have talked about how there is some level of that in all levels of politics on all sides of the aisle, and I think that's certainly true. But what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now is a Republican Party who is anything but unified. And I would just say this, there's plenty of finger pointing to go around. I have my own opinions on what that is. But really, the bottom line is, Jordan, all of the Republican Party is suffering for it. You have individual candidates in the House, individual candidates in the Senate who are having a hard time getting reelected because they cannot run or feel like they cannot run under the banner of their nominee, Donald Trump. You can say that's Donald Trump's fault. You can say it's Paul Ryan's fault. No matter what it is, here's the bottom line. Republicans are going to have a harder time winning some of those seats because of that lack of unification. So we're seeing it on both sides of the aisle this year.
All right, folks, we got a minute left. Logan, comments coming on Facebook and Periscope?
Yeah, a lot of comments. And this came in from Nancy. Who is left that can prosecute any of these people? And are there any honest people left? So a lot of these kind of comments are stringing in. And why can't this go to the Supreme Court? That came in from Ron.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't even started in the normal criminal process. So that's why. I mean, you'd have to have a prosecution. Would there be constitutional issues potentially? That doesn't mean there shouldn't be prosecutions, and it doesn't always mean that the person will be convicted. You're innocent until proven guilty in America, but certainly these individuals look pretty guilty as, again, we're outside the legal process. We're looking in. They look pretty guilty, so you would assume that you'd bring prosecutions at least against some of them, but that hasn't yet happened. A major victory, folks, for us in the federal courts in Washington, D.C. The IRS has been ordered to cease delaying determinations on any of the groups that we represent, their outstanding tax-exempt applications. IRS has 30 days to respond there. That's it. And also has to answer how they the process for determination prior to the targeting, whether or not this will ever happen again, and assurance. So I'll get into this when we come back. We'll take your calls as well.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jason reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. That's 2 babies killed every minute, every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. The abortion industry even sells these murdered babies' body parts for profit. It's our duty to end these atrocities. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the Pro-Life Investigative Journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. This case could devastate big abortion. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And we could not succeed without your support. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Folks, before we get back into the Hillary Clinton matter, wouldn't it be great to be Hillary Clinton having the State Department, the White House, the FBI even defending you when it looks like one of your top officials, an Undersecretary of State, was engaged in a, quote, quid pro quo offer. That's not our words. That's what the FBI released in their interview documents with the FBI so that they could protect your email so you could make the statement that there was nothing classified in your on your email, your private email server, which, again, doesn't seem like the right job for a undersecretary of management at the State Department to be doing because someone happens to be under investigation because of their private server, not government server, private email server. Bizarre as well. But I want to announce, again, if you're just joining us, a major victory in the ACLJ's lawsuit against the IRS. We won at the circuit court level, at the federal level. This is in Washington, D.C. Part of the case was sent back to the district court to figure out the specifics, as is normal in these cases. And the IRS has now been ordered by the district court in D.C. to issue outstanding determinations for two of the groups that have still not gotten notice from the IRS. One has been waiting 7 years. The other has been waiting 6 years to get their final determinations from the IRS on their tax-exempt status that they applied for, again, 7 and 6 years ago. But on top of that, to take it a step further, that will not be enough for the IRS to finish out this lawsuit. Specifically, we asked and the court agreed that the IRS must answer these questions. So this will be important, folks. What was the determination process prior to the targeting of the conservative groups? How and why did the targeting begin? What treatment did plaintiffs' applications receive during the targeting? What assurances are currently in place that plaintiffs will not suffer further retaliation or discriminatory treatment at the hands of the IRS? Again, folks, because of this order, the IRS will at long last be required to disclose the details of their lawless and unconstitutional Tea Party targeting scheme. This is very important, folks. A victory for this was our case, the American Center for Law and Justice. Great work by our attorneys in federal court in Washington, D.C. on behalf of citizens who wanted to organize at the grassroots level. And I think now from these Clinton emails, you understand what we're dealing with when you're talking about this administration and fighting back against whether it's their target of conservatives or protecting themselves. Let's go right to the phones, Logan, 1-800-684-3110.
Sure. All right, let's go to Judy in Culpeper, Virginia first.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, you're on the air.
Are you there? Yes, are you there?
Yes, we are. You are on the air.
Oh, good. This phone has a click in it, so I wasn't sure if something has happened. Thank you for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate it. My question and comment is, do you guys think that the media is being bought? After I watched Chuck Todd and Willie Geis on Sunday, I kind of sat up and go, wait a minute. You know, he's interviewing Giuliano, and Giuliano is trying to tell him that it's not the polls where you go in to vote. It's the media reporting the election that he thinks is rigged. Willie took defensive action and words against that. He got upset. Then when you watch Chuck's portion where they were interviewing the two people, they allowed that lady to speak openly about why.
Yeah, I get it. I'm only jumping in, Judy, because some people may not have seen you talk about Meet the Press on Sundays. Listen, is there bias? There's absolutely bias. Most journalists are liberals. Maybe that doesn't apply to Fox News. Maybe it doesn't apply to the Wall Street Journal. Maybe it doesn't apply to your local news outlets and your local newspaper. I know many local newspapers, even in states which are pretty conservative, that their cities, you know, the main newspaper for, you know, the bigger cities are still pretty far to the left. I'm not trying to speak for all. This is just fact that most of them are to the left. That being said, they're not supposed to be completely biased in their coverage of the facts. We will get bias when it comes to their opinion.
Right.
And that's one thing, but it's the facts. And I think, Logan, the perfect example of this story is, first of all, I'm glad that other media outlets are covering the Clinton situation. But what I don't like is how CNN's acted like, and this is right after we were on the show yesterday, I turned it on, they were covering it, Wolf Blitzer was talking about it, but the reporter, who's, you know, I'm sure a smart person, oh, this is very complicated, Wolf. That's what they said. It's very complicated, Wolf, and it's really unclear. Now, it says in the document quid pro quo.
Right.
And even Wolf was doing the bidding of Clinton. It was clear. So can you feel that the media is biased? Yes. That's why with each of these stories, you will hear a different spin on it depending on where you get your news. What we tried to do is just report the facts. And the facts are the document says quid pro quo. That means a bribe was offered. Very clearly, folks. And I just want, again, here is some of that CNN coverage. Let's take a listen. Byte 32.
So, Ron, this alleged quid pro quo, It's sure to come up at Wednesday's debate. So how might Clinton respond?
Yeah, look, I mean, as Brianna laid out, it's a complicated story with the State Department. One email suggesting the State Department began the conversation. One email suggesting the FBI began the conversation. I look, she's got it. In all likelihood, she's going to do what we saw John Kirby do, which is deny that the trade was ever offered. But it does kind of underscore just kind of what a monumental mess she created for herself with this decision.
So listen, that was fair. He says it was a monumental mess, but saying it's so complicated, I think you're trying to tell people right there. You could say confusing, but when you say complicated, and I want to go to Than on this, Than, you're trying to tell people this is going to be tough for you to follow and it's unclear.
Right.
It's not unclear because it says in the document quid pro quo. I'm showing this for our Facebook and Periscope. There's some highlights from our producer, Will, but it literally says right there, quid pro quo, in quotes, on the FBI documents. It's only three pages in this document that you've got to look at, and you'll find quid pro quo from one government agent to another government agent in a separate agency of the government. And it goes on, Than, to say that this same person whose name has been redacted was then in another meeting with Patrick Kennedy, this Undersecretary of State for Management, and that Patrick Kennedy was in charge of the meeting, and that during the conversation, a participant specifically asked whether any of the emails, these are Clinton emails, in question were classified, making eye contact with the redacted person who says that Kennedy made this quid pro quo offer. Kennedy remarked while making eye contact, well, we'll see. Again, you feel the intimidation there. You feel the intimidation there, Than, and yet they're telling us this is so complicated that we shouldn't believe the FBI.
Intimidation is the right word, Jordan. I'll just make two quick points. The meeting that you referenced after that pressuring phone call was, quote, and again, I'm quoting the document here, an agency-wide meeting in which this low-level FBI official in the Records Management Division was pressured by the Undersecretary, Patrick Kennedy. But go back to the conversation that happened within the FBI after Undersecretary Kennedy had requested the FBI make this alteration. A superior at the FBI called this low-level records official and, quote, again, quoting the document from the FBI interview, pressured him to change the classified email to unclassified. So he pressured him, then he admitted that he had been contacted by the undersecretary and offered a quid pro quo. And when this low-level official wouldn't do it, Jordan, an agency-wide meeting was called, and there was direct eye-to-eye intimidation conducted by the undersecretary. I tell you what, the levels of this are deep, and this low-level employee at the FBI, he or she ought to be applauded. I got to tell you, though, his or her career is probably in jeopardy because of it.
Let me tell you, folks, President Obama has just now had to respond to this. We've only got about 40 seconds left in the first half of the broadcast. Take a listen.
Does it distress you that folks at the FBI and State Department talked about the proper level of classification of emails that were on Secretary Clinton's server? Would you acknowledge the appearance of impropriety, and should State Department officials look into this further?
I think you've heard directly from both the FBI and the State Department that the notion or the accounts that have been put out there are just not true.
So the document I'm holding in my hand that came from the FBI's website, Mr. President, that's not true. Your words are. I'm supposed to believe you and your colleagues. Folks, we'll be right back with our second half hour.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the pro-life investigative journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
folks. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. A big victory in federal court for the clients we represent, the ACLJ, in our lawsuit against the IRS. We've got a full blog up at aclj.org. But President Obama was just asked, we played it just as we were going to break in our first half hour of the broadcast. President Obama was just asked about the FBI document showing a, quote, quid pro quo. That's from the actual document. I'm holding it in my hands right now for our Facebook and Periscope audience. Not made up by the conservatives.
Right.
Not in a leaked document, in an official document. You yourself can go get on FBI.gov. Take a listen to what President Obama, how he responded to this just reporter's very thoughtful, clear question. It just happened.
Does it distress you that folks at the FBI and State Department talked about the proper level of classification of emails that were on Secretary Clinton's server? Would you acknowledge the appearance of impropriety, and should State Department officials look into this further?
I think you've heard directly from both the FBI and the State Department that the notion or the accounts that have been put out there are just not true.
Than, we talked about this in the break. I know you feel very strongly about this. To me, what's interesting is that when the FBI comes out, their director comes out and says, you know, Hillary Clinton did all these bad things, but we don't recommend any prosecution whatsoever. There will be no prosecution. Oh, the Obama administration loves that. Hillary Clinton loves touting that. When an FBI document comes out, which shows the words quid pro quo in it, suddenly it's not true. The actual document is not true. Than, your reaction.
Jordan, I am offended, literally offended by the president's comments, and here is why. The FBI and the State Department actually both admitted that this conversation and the exchanges in this FBI 302 summary did in fact happen. The FBI and the State Department say the fact that the quid pro quo was never consummated, that is why there was no wrongdoing here. For the president to come out and say that it is just not true, that that this 302 is not factually accurate and just didn't happen— Jordan, I really can't call that anything but a lie. We are reading the document in front of us. The president needs to level with the American people. If he wants to go back to what the FBI and the State Department are saying and saying the email was never reclassified and that what makes it okay, that's one thing. For him to say it's not true, that's nothing but a lie, Jordan.
All right, folks. So we're going to get right to some phone calls, comments as well before we go into our next break. Remember, folks, in our last segment of the broadcast, we take all phone calls to everybody who's on the air, everybody who's been holding it, 1-800-684-3110. Next segment, we're going to break into some more of the legal issues surrounding this quid pro quo. Logan, we take a call?
Yeah, let's take Brandy in Washington, D.C. You're on the air.
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, guys.
Are you there? I think
looks
Brandy's
like we're
had
gonna
some
tech
issues.
Let's try to take a call. Maybe Manny.
Sure, Manny
hold
in
on.
San Antonio, Texas. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jordan?
Yeah,
yes.
You're on, Manny.
How you doing?
We're good.
Well, Jordan, the words, I have so many, but I have to put it in a few. But yet, Ray, special, the latest on the president, that is not just an offense. That's beyond words to describe it. But we must understand and realize by now that this administration, beginning with the president, the State Department, the FBI, Hillary, along the way, the corruption is beyond words. It's the reason that I know millions, but I am challenging, I beg to the millions of people that love this country, that love the Constitution, that love the blessings that God has given us, and I encourage them to fight for, so on November the 8th, to vote for Donald Trump.
Well,
otherwise,
listen, and Manny, that is, you held on a long time, that is your opinion. I want to make that clear. We can't make endorsements. You all can. For fact, oftentimes we ask on the show who you're supporting, and you're able to do that. But I think this does actually speak to a bigger issue. And we'll talk about this more when we come back from the break. This is why Donald Trump, with all the issues plaguing his campaign that plagued the Republican Party, is still within striking distance, could still very much win this election for President of the United States. Because people, when they get down to it, are just sickened by the corruption. And they realize that Hillary Clinton represents a lot of it. And, you know, 4 more years of it. So it's why Donald Trump has not been defeated, that this race is not over. It's far from done. Now, we'll see what happens tomorrow night at the debate. But again, folks, it's why this is all within the margin of error. As we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Harry Hutchinson, senior analyst and attorney here at the ACLJ, is going to join us to break the legal issues down around the quid pro quo.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. That's 2 babies killed every minute, every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. The abortion industry even sells these murdered babies' body parts for profit. It's our duty to end these atrocities. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the Pro-Life Investigative Journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. This case could devastate big abortion. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And we could not succeed without your support. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
President of the United States, who said, nothing wrong here. Those accounts are
nothing
false.
To see here.
Believe your president. So again, I will go back to saying, I wish I was, got treated like Hillary Clinton. I mean, there's not many times you could say that in life, that you felt like, you know, Hillary Clinton gets great treatment. But in this case, she's got the President of the United States doing her bidding now, the whole White House press shop, the State Department, and the FBI trying to muddle this story up when we have a document that makes it very clear. Because we have an FBI official who gave testimony during this investigation. This document got released publicly by the FBI, not in a WikiLeak, not in some hack. By the FBI, released this on FBI.gov yesterday that says quid pro quo. Folks, this is it can feel absurd at times, but I also do believe that we need to look at the actual allegations that are being made here. What's being the president is saying is just not accurate. What if you went off the document itself, the legal issues that would be the violations criminally. Harry Hutchinson, who is an attorney as well as our senior counsel for policy at the American Center for Law and Justice, is joining us in the studio today. Harry, first, just looking at the document itself, putting aside that everybody in the government, the Obama administration, is now telling us this document is wrong, we should just believe their words. When someone offers a quid pro quo from one government agency to another, that right there could be criminal in itself, just the offer.
Absolutely. And so if you look at 18 U.S.C. Section 201, bribery of public officials and witnesses, the statutory language suggests that the mere offer constitutes sufficient evidence along with proof of intent to constitute a bribe and to constitute a crime punishable by imprisonment. And so there are several issues associated with this quid pro quo, including the fact that Patrick Kennedy clearly attempted to influence the FBI to change its classification of certain emails and certain documents. So we start there, and then he ups the ante by suggesting, well, if you're willing to do this, guess what? We are prepared to station FBI agents in countries where they are currently prohibited. And so you have, at least it seems to me, the outline of a bribe. Judge Napolitano has suggested that the mere offering of a benefit constitutes sufficient evidence to outline at least a crime.
And yet we've seen this immediate dismissal now by the Commander-in-Chief of the United States, President Obama. We've played that sound. We've heard it from the White House. We've heard it from the State Department that, in fact, this just we shouldn't believe this document, Harry, that the truth was that they were having conversations about these things, but that was separate. Now, if that is true, where's the wouldn't they release documentation showing that? And there's notes from those meetings. If that was really not, they may not be included in the Clinton 302s, because if there were, but if you wanted to really prove this point and not just make these statements, which I think just cause more political unrest, if you will, because people really don't believe the president of the United States on these kind of issues with Hillary when he makes the statements. They don't really believe Josh Earnest. So give us some documentation. Give us notes from meetings that make it clear that this wasn't happening at the same time, that this was truly separate. They haven't done that.
Absolutely. And I think it's even worse than that, Jordan. The FBI agents on the ground, if you could put them under a lie detector test, they don't believe the president of the United States.
Yeah.
In fact, they believe that FBI Director Comey, along with other officials, essentially conspired to engage in a faux investigation at its inception.
Yeah, and we're hearing that now, Harry, from more FBI officials. That was in the news again today. More, again, off record, but people who are being confirmed as with inside the FBI who are making these allegations. None has come forward yet as a whistleblower. And I think that's because, again, the nature of the next administration, if it is the Clinton administration, could really do some damage to you, not just career either, but even if you were going to retire but come out with this statement that maybe put you at risk. But they are at least, you know, anonymously, but being verified as sources coming out and making these statements to the press that they absolutely believe. This is not just our opinion, folks, but inside the FBI, that there was a conspiracy to quell this investigation.
Absolutely. So if we take a couple of points, I think we can demonstrate why the FBI, why FBI agents on the ground are very disappointed in Director Comey. First, a grand jury should have been convened. Secondly, for instance, Secretary Clinton's house was never searched. It strikes me that any basic criminal investigation would lead FBI agents to search the residence of the target of the criminal investigation.
Yep.
So this was sloppy. It was probably intentional, although we may not be able to prove it, but I think there's clear evidence on the ground that this investigation was doomed from the very start.
I mean, Than, it's interesting. Usually the administration is trying to discredit a person's account or a statement or belief or opinions or assessment of something they have done wrong. This time they're trying to discredit an actual FBI document. It's interesting, but inside the document, it implicates more than just one person at the FBI. It implicates a number of people that you could go back and question at the FBI about this, because as you pointed out in our chat that people aren't seeing, is that the person who made this report to the FBI is repeating what they were told by someone inside, and they named them. They gave names in this report. Those are redacted for us. The International Operations Division of the FBI. So they could go to those people directly and clarify this and get notes. You know, one of the agent government's role in these meetings they have and phone calls, they must take notes for legal purposes like this. They could make this very clear if they wanted to, but that's only Than if it actually exists.
Well, I think Congress is going to do exactly that, Jordan, and I actually think this is the most damaging point in the entire thing. I think it gives the outlines of a motive for Director Comey's decision not to prosecute. We've talked a lot about how the State Department was willing to alter U.S. foreign policy in exchange for changing the email classification, but what was the FBI motive? The FBI's motive was within the International Operations Division, which is who received that request from the undersecretary. That division, Jordan, wanted more slots overseas, and so it was that division within the FBI that then pressured the records management division. Now, if I was a director of an agency like Jim Comey was, and I knew that this was happening, there would be a vested interest in making sure that that did not get out, because that is direct FBI involvement. Sure, maybe it was the State Department offering the quid pro quo, but the International Operations Division within the FBI, Jordan, they were receptive to that offer, and they tried to implement it. They tried to get it done. It was the Records Management Division that pushed back and didn't allow it.
Yeah. All right, let's take a phone call. All right, let's go to April on line five. Hi, April.
Hi. First of all, congratulations on your victory with the IRS.
Thank you.
That's big. And I've been listening to the conversation, and I think even though I'm not an attorney, I think I understand. It's just common sense that there's criminal action here.
Yep.
But my question to you guys, and maybe you can explain it to me, because it doesn't make sense why Congress isn't acting now.
Well, let me go to Harry. One, Congress, I'll answer the first part. Congress is in recess through the election. So Jason Chaffetz said he wishes that he could hold hearings this week. That's not how their schedule permits. They could call some kind of special session maybe, but that's speculation on my part. But number two, Harry, is that ultimately here, this involves the prosecutors. The people who actually bring the criminal charges are the Department of Justice, which also oversees the FBI. They are truly, Congress can investigate, then turn over information and make information public. But that they're kind of, and they can bring lawsuits in court on subpoenas and things like that. But when it comes to actually bringing criminal charges, as April's talking about, that is the role of the Department of Justice and the FBI, not Congress.
Absolutely. So Congress can call for the Inspector General to initiate an investigation. Congress has already called for the removal of Patrick Kennedy pending an independent and unbiased investigation. But Congress has really an oversight role, but Congress does not have an enforcement role. And I think part of the problem here is that the Obama administration is not committed to an independent, unbiased investigation. And I think the evidence on the ground suggests they never were committed to such an investigation.
Folks, Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst here at the American Center for Law and Justice, also an attorney. It's great to have him on just to discuss the implications of what this means and the legal issues at stake, the criminal issues at stake. We come back. Remember, we take all of your phone calls. So I know some of you have been holding 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org. A lot of information about our latest victory in federal court against the IRS. Gotta love wins against the IRS. And also, we're in federal court today. Pray for our attorneys out in California in the Ninth Circuit on the issue of life.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jacek reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. That's 2 babies killed every minute, every hour of every day. It's horrendous and unthinkable. The abortion industry even sells these murdered babies' body parts for profit. It's our duty to end these atrocities. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the Pro-Life Investigative Journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. This case could devastate big abortion. We're battling the abortion industry's billion-dollar taxpayer-funded resources in multiple federal courts. And we could not succeed without your support. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
President Obama saying that the allegations, which, by the way, not allegations really, because they're in an actual document. I hold this up for our Facebook and Periscope. You can find this one for yourself at FBI.gov. I'm not pushing out a website here.
Paid sponsor. Yeah,
at FBI.gov, you'll find this document in their latest release, and you'll see in it, in quotes, quid pro quo. So it's not allegation. It is someone reporting this is what they heard. So they can answer this by, again, providing more notes, providing more information. I don't just believe the president's words. I don't just believe the FBI. I certainly don't believe Josh Earnest or any time a State Department spokesperson speaks on any of these issues. Think about it. Like, did we pay Iran a ransom for the Americans? No. Well, yeah, we did. Again, this is why you have to, I think, just keep it all in. Well, we're in election year. We're 3 weeks out. So you're going to be inundated. Anytime something bad comes about Hillary Clinton, this administration is going to use the full force of their power to help her. That's why I keep saying throughout the show, it'd be great to be Hillary Clinton, to have the President of the United States, the White House, the State Department, and the FBI doing your bidding for you so that her campaign can just lay back and let the government do it for them. When President Obama was asked about this allegation, he said the notion or the accounts that have been put out there are just not true. I mean, he just makes these huge claims. But Logan, people have been holding on. I want to get to their calls. Let's take them.
Let's go in order. Let's start with Brandy in Washington, D.C.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Appreciate you for holding on.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to say that I feel like you guys' arguments are very, very one-sided. I am not a fan of either candidate.
Okay.
You know, you guys have made the comment that you guys, I guess, legally cannot endorse one party.
No, and today, I think we've been pretty tough on Trump. We've been tough on, now today the focus has been, of course, on what all news is focusing on, which is these allegations. President Obama's talking about it, that there was a quid pro quo offered from the State Department to the FBI. So that we focused on that. But I will tell you, we've focused some hard-hitting shows on Donald Trump. We haven't had a lot of positive to say either. We've been reporting the facts that we do think that the only reason he still has a chance, which is certainly not a great statement, by the way, Brandy, for Donald Trump. We think the only reason he still has a chance is because of this information about Hillary Clinton. But I'm not trying to cut you off. I just want to make it clear. We can't endorse candidates. We can give you opinion and facts and let you be the judge.
Well, it just looks to me like both parties are corrupt for the most part. Last week, Donald Trump was accused of grabbing women's private parts.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are talking about intimidation from the FBI,
Here's the difference. What Donald Trump is allegedly have done is horrendous. We've talked about that on the air. We said, you know, this is horrendous. This may be the end of his campaign. We thought even the audio alone, not to the people, the allegations, the audio alone may be the end of the campaign. We talked about it on this show. We addressed it head on. But I do think it's fair to point out, Brandy, and if Brandy's still on, she held on a long time, though. If we can get her address. We'll send her a book. If she's not, she can call back in. But I think that, you know, you have to be fair, is that when you call both parties corrupt and this and that, I get where people feel that way. And the truth, what's the party in control? Donald Trump may be morally corrupt. I am not saying for all the Trump supporters there that he is morally corrupt. I'm saying he might be. But we don't have any indication that the way he runs his business or that the way he'd run his government is corrupt. What we do know, Than, is that from Hillary Clinton is that we see the actual corruption. There's a difference between moral corruption and your government's corruption, if you will. Now, sometimes that could go hand in hand. You could make the case that's, you know, Donald Trump would take tactics like that. We don't have that. That's all hypothetical. In Hillary Clinton's situation, it's not hypothetical.
Yeah, Jordan, there's an awful lot that has come out about Donald Trump that I would never defend and I would never pretend to defend. But I got to tell you, there is a big difference between the actions of a private citizen
right. And
the actions of the federal government. The federal government, Jordan, especially the State Department and the FBI, they have an obligation to me. They have an obligation to you. They have an obligation to Brandy. And then when they do not uphold the basic moral tenets of their job, that when they collude amongst one another for the benefit of their agencies as opposed to the American people, that is a problem. And quite honestly, it rises above the level of the actions of a private citizen.
All right, back to the phones we go, Logan.
All right, let's go to Kathy in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Kathy.
You're on the air.
Hey, just wanted to know about the media. We discussed that earlier in the show, and I was thinking that they absolutely— I've been complicit with this administration.
Yeah, well, I get your feeling there. And when you talk media, you mean kind of mainstream media, I'm assuming, Kathy. Obviously, the Fox Newses of the world have been really in direct opposition to this administration, taking these spokespeople to account.
Well, and that's the problem. I think the press has been so complicit that now when they want to hold this administration, they cannot do it now. They are like lap dogs. So the president and the State Department guy, he just pushes them away and says, we don't think you're serious anymore. We've already used you up.
Yeah, and obviously, honestly, the reporter that was pressing there, Kathy, and the state, we don't have time right now because we're doing our rapid fire round, but that reporter was a Fox News reporter. Catherine Herridge, who was willing to take the State Department spokesperson Mark Toner to task, and he said he was insulted. First of all, his job is not to, we don't care if Mark Toner's insulted. You don't even care if, you know, these leaders are insulted. They are our servants. They serve the people. And when our reporters, the people who can ask them questions, and their response is, I'm insulted, they're acting like dictators. Let's go back to the phones.
All right, moving on. Brenda. Line 4 in Flint, Michigan.
Deployable Brenda Battle Jordan from Flint, Michigan, of all places. Such a Democratic area, but my husband and I are Republicans. And just because we're Republicans does not mean that we support everything that a Republican does. But Donald Trump is the one. Hillary Clinton has been so corrupted, that there's no way that anybody, I don't know how anybody can see her as.
Well, Brenda, let me ask you quickly, because you're in Flint, Michigan. This is a Democrat stronghold. It's had a lot in the news because of the water situation there. You're obviously surrounded by people who are Democrats or supporting Hillary Clinton. How do they explain it to you, or they just not even want to discuss it with you?
Well, I could tell you my husband's parents and my dad as well. We go about it by going to family gatherings without even talking politics at all because they would all double team husband.
Well, you are very brave, Brenda, being a Republican in Flint, Michigan. For those of you who may not know Flint, Michigan as well, I will tell you one of the campaigns I worked with, if the campaign staffers went in there with a Republican party's candidate sticker, that car may not come out. Not necessarily the person, but the car may not come out the same way. And it just speaks to the stronghold. Brenda, if you can hang on, we'll send you a copy of Unholy Alliance.
We'll quickly try to get this last call. Let's go to Ray in St. Louis. Jeannie, sorry, we'll get you maybe tomorrow.
Hey, Ray.
Okay.
Ray, you're there. You're on.
Yes.
You made it.
I don't think most people realize the consequences of Hillary Clinton being coming president. Three things will basically happen. First, she'll appoint a replacement for Justice Scalia, and will throw the balance of the court to 5 liberal, 3 conservative, and Justice Kennedy, who's kind of either
swing
way.
Vote, right. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Secondly, she's already said that she will rule by, if you think that
Yeah,
Obama.
Very similar. I'm only jumping in right, but similar to the executive action kind of presidency. She'll do as much as she can with Congress, but if not, she'll take the executive actions. If she has to fight them in court, she will. Sorry we couldn't get to your third point there, but Ray, I think you're absolutely right. There's significant policy differences. You know whose job it is to bring this up directly on tomorrow night? Donald J. Trump. He has to bring these issues up and articulate them in a way to reach the American people. It's up to him. We will talk to you tomorrow. Go to ACLJ.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront when it comes to protecting human life. Every year, big abortion slaughters over 1 million babies. This week, we're in federal appeals court in defense of a former board member of the pro-life investigative journalists who exposed the abortion industry's gruesome tactics. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now in this critical fight. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.